Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Welcome, Evan Perry, to Crossover.
Thank you for having me.
Yet again, this is our second interview, and you are just having such tremendous success, and I'm not in the least surprised. How are things going?
Oh, things are wonderful. Things are wonderful out here in Detroit, and I guess across the nation, we've been getting some great support from people, and things are good. Things are good.
Now, how about all over the country? Are you as hot there as you are in Detroit?
From what I hear, I guess so. We're doing great here, and we're always trying to, you know, spread our word as far as our reach can go.
Well, I wanted to know also, have you been doing any work in Europe?
None.
Okay.
Not as of yet. We're looking forward to maybe getting over there sometime soon, but we all know that the dollar has fallen.
Right,
it's a little
course.
More expensive
yeah.
to travel to Europe these days, but we hope to get over there soon.
I guess the reason I ask is because you're really inspired. I mean, your work is inspired by Django Reinhardt. He was, of course, a French gypsy, I guess we'll call him that, and of course an international star ultimately, but I just wondered how a French audience would react to this or to your music. Have you gotten any feedback on your albums going abroad at all?
No, we haven't. Our album is released in Europe at some places. I haven't had any feedback that I know of, but I am curious to what they would think about, I don't know, an American group playing the music that was pioneered over there by Django Reinhardt, of course. And, you know, Americans always accept Europeans for their jazz and their art, so I'm sure it would go both ways.
Well, certainly for a particular generation, I think you would really touch a nerve because of course, that was your inspiration, wasn't it, Django, his style?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, I'm a Detroit native, born and raised here, and my father is a jazz guitar player his whole life, so you know, I was absorbing the sounds of many different jazz pioneers from an early age, but actually didn't begin playing jazz until I was probably 18 or 19, studying music in school and composition and arranging, and just got more and more into jazz and kind of, I guess, followed the footsteps of my father, but soon discovered Django and took a big left turn.
I was going to say, how did you discover him? By recordings? I mean, did anyone ever tell you about him, or did you just kind of stumble on his work?
Yes, I was told about him. I was studying with the late, great Mike Elliott, who was my guitar mentor. I was studying jazz guitar in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we had been studying different rhythm guitar techniques, like Charlie Christian, mm-hmm. Freddie Green, Eddie Lang, stuff like that. And not too far into that conversation, he had asked me if I ever heard of the two-finger gypsy from France that was better than anybody. And
it just sparked
my curiosity. And soon after that, I picked up like a greatest hits kind of thing of Django. And That was it. It was over from there.
How did he get the two fingers? I don't remember that story.
Well, Django, he had all his fingers, but when he was 18, his wife had made him some artificial flowers, which caught fire in their caravan.
Oh,
and
my.
He had burns over, you know, I guess, 70-80% of his body, and lost the use of his left hand, his fretting hand on the guitar. He had fingers had fused together. He had to get them surgically separated.
Oh,
and as time went on, I guess he just learned how to play the guitar with two fingers on his left hand.
Can you imagine the impetus to do that? I mean, he must have really been just so determined, and maybe didn't even feel sorry for himself at some point.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did. He was an amazing musician before his accident, and being music and arts being such an important part of life in the gypsy lifestyle, I think that's where his dedication came from to keep going.
Now, they were truly gypsies, weren't they? I mean, they traveled from town to town.
Yes, they were. They were
the real McCoy,
Sinti,
yeah.
Sinti, or as people call them, Manouche. And there's many different gypsies across Europe, but that particular tribe came from the Sinti tribe.
And they were where? Outside of Paris, or?
Yes, just outside of Paris. Outside of Paris, where most of the gypsies in France were presiding.
Well, I have to tell you, I love this second album. I love the first one, but of course I love French music and I love Piaf and I love Reinhardt and when I heard Je t'attendrai and this valse Rosenthal is also very French. Of course you take off in a whole other direction, but you are definitely inclined to work on those melodies. I mean,
Definitely. Yeah. Some of my favorite music, too, in the world is French music and French popular music and French classic music. It's just music that has always been a huge influence. I always loved accordion music and the waltz, and it's just kind of right up my alley.
But it's very interesting, someone, born as you were here in the States, in Detroit. I mean, I don't want to sound ignorant, but it's of another era, really. It really is.
Yep.
And that's why I find it so, well, it's very refreshing. And you really do a whole new take on everything. Where did you find Julien Labro, your accordionist?
Julien Labro I met at Wayne State University. He was studying accordion with his instructor, Peter Suave, who's a professor at Wayne State. And I was there studying arranging composition. And I had been putting together this group in the basement, and I heard about Julien, and we had a mutual friend, so I just got him to come hang out one day and come and sit in on a jam session. And we just hit it off. We became good friends then, and we've been, very, very close friends since, and I enjoy sharing musical experiences with him. It's wonderful.
Now, do you do all the arrangements for the group?
I do the majority of them, but the way I've structured this group, I don't. One thing that always annoyed me about jazz bands was there was always a soloist backed by whoever he could hire that particular night for the gig.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that never really attracted me. The way I grew up, I was always playing in bands and like a unit more than just a soloist, So I try to recreate that with the Hot Club. I want each member is an integral part of the sound, and when we're doing arrangements and things, I like to have everybody throw in their two cents, because I want to have a band sound rather than just a soloist. So.
Well, that's kind of like chamber music, in a way. It really is. I mean, each one carries himself very, very definitely and is an integral part of the whole. Can you tell the audience what the Hot Club was? Initially, of course, it started in Europe, right? It was in Paris, I guess, wasn't it? The Hot Club? But it was a defined kind of group, wasn't it?
Yes, specific instrumentation. And, when American service members were over there for the war, that's where Dago had first accessed his of Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington, and he put together that group. It was just such a unique ensemble. There's no drums and three guitars, violin, and a bass. And
right.
It's just, that was the Hot Club sound.
And that's it. It's the sound. It's a unique sound. I mean, that's why I think you are, well, I think you're wonderful. All of you are so talented. But you also have,
so
oh, really, it's the only thing I can say is refreshing, and it's great that you're having so much success. What is it, five time you've won the Detroit Music Award? Five times?
Yeah, five or six or something.
So now, are you going to incorporate another style at some point? Are you, you've got this kind of gypsy jazz sound, and then you've got some other things, something like Coquette, for instance. What style is that?
We've always loved, you know, Brazilian guitar playing and, uh-huh. and the music of, you know, Joe Beam and Jorge Alberto.
Right.
Stuff like that, and that song just really made sense to play in that style for me, and we wanted something that was real soft
cool.
for the album. That's, you know,
cool, I think. Really cool, yeah.
Thanks. And we show off a little bit of our rhythm guitar player's chops on the nylon string.
Now, the one that really surprised me, and I am a classical musician, was the Sagan, the Ravel Sagan. You really
yeah.
went and you, what made you do that? That is so great.
Well, that came from Paul. Paul had, our rhythm guitar player, was playing that piece for some odd reason, and, you know, Sagan means gypsy.
Yes, of course.
So we started, you know, digging through the arrangement, and it's a long, long violin concerto.
Yeah, it's got a big cadenza in the beginning, tremendous
yeah.
cadenza, solo cadenza.
So we did a chord analysis of it, and it just, the chord changes were very, very gypsy-esque.
Yes,
very
yes.
Easy to jam over, so we just did a little chord reduction and started pulling excerpts out of it and arranging it, and that's what we came up with. I love that arrangement too.
Oh, but when I saw that, I said, I've got to listen to this. What is this? Couldn't be the same one. And of course there it was. And it's brilliant, really.
Yeah. It gave us a very cool opportunity to take that cadenza and the whole intro and do it on the accordion.
Right.
Which has, you know, the reeds on the accordions can very closely in a way emulate the sound of a violin sometimes. I think we accomplished that very well with that piece.
It was extremely esoteric, in a sense, for somebody like you to go and find this and decide you want to work on it. It's it's great. It just shows the level of, I guess, intellect, if you don't mind.
To me, it's more of a Detroit thing. You know, growing up here, there's just so much good music happening here in Detroit. And there's so many good musicians and everyone's always talking with each other and supporting each other and searching for new things. And, you know, whereas some musicians might find it dangerous to go back too far in repertoire. Mm-hmm. Whereas here in Detroit, everyone was always supported in doing so. So the crazy ideas like Zagan and some of the other songs on the new album, you know, really are just how I was raised here and how I learned to find repertoire, you know.
I think the Chamber of Commerce should hire you for Detroit. you know, it's wonderful that you love where you are. You love your roots and you respect them so much. And you really want to kind of stay there. And Detroit, of course, the symphony has always been outstanding. And I know the conservatory, Wayne, the music school is great.
Yeah.
And I think you're probably one of the best posters for that city. So
yeah, you know, the city was reaching a point where kind of a lot of the old guys were just moving on, mm-hmm. and you know, the next generation is, you know, ready to take the reins, and it's wonderful to be a part of that evolution, continual evolution of jazz here in Detroit, and we're ready to take the reins and move on and eventually pass them on to the next group.
Well, you're still young. Is Hamtramck still around? I visited Detroit once.
Hamtramck is still there.
Yeah.
He's doing well.
Has it changed the whole area? Because, you know, a lot of the cities, the areas change.
You know, Hamtramck is part of Detroit that has not changed much. It's still full of Polish dance
yeah.
halls
uh-huh.
and restaurants right. and lots of good nightlife.
Do they like your hot club sound?
Yes, they do. You know, the Polish people, when they love accordions and they love jazz too. So when you put them together, it's a win-win.
Now, will you be doing more jazz inspired stuff? I mean, you're moving on into a slightly different direction or no?
Yeah, you know, I just, for me, you know, using the gypsy jazz vehicle to express a lot of different things that we all love. As music that I love, all different forms of jazz, and I don't see why one in any style of music needs to be a purist, like 100% purist. I mean, yes, you can tip your hat to the style, but you also got to be yourself. And as an artist, you got to, in order to express yourself, you have to be yourself. And if that means playing the music that influenced you growing up, that's what it's going to take, you know. You never know. We may do an arrangement of a Led Zeppelin tune or something like that next time.
Well, you're putting ideas together already. Well, just keep giving us these winners, these wonderful, wonderful albums, Evan, and hats off to you and the entire group. And thanks so much again for your great music and this great interview.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, and thank you for having me.
Okay.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.